come alive, come alive in my body. Dream, come alive, come alive in my body.
Hey there, this is Molly, and you are listening to episode 28 of the Clean Food Dirty Girl podcast. How's it going? So I'm back from Africa, and what an amazing trip. Life-changing. So cool. As soon as I got home, actually not as soon as I got home, probably when I was flying back home, I got COVID. And so I've been resting and recovering and still not feeling 100%, but I am feeling good enough to do this. So you got to deal with my COVID-y ass for this episode. So Africa was amazing. We had such a good time. Really a good time. A lot of challenging moments, a lot of stunning moments, a lot of just jaw-dropping, like, what am I looking at moments. And so first, I just want to tell you a little bit about our trip and like how, like where we went and what we chose to do. So we specifically spent a month in Namibia and Botswana. And we went to Zimbabwe just briefly to see Victoria Falls. And so what we did was, you know, most people who, or a lot of people who go to Africa, they go on safari and they'll pick a place or maybe two places and they'll stay for a couple weeks or 3 weeks and kind of stay at that lodge and then go out on safari and see animals and kind of stay in one or two places. And that we have a lot of friends who have done that and really recommended. And that's not what we did. What we decided to do was we connected with a company who partnered with another company. We partnered with a company called Mikasa. And they partner with a company called Explore Namibia. And through them, we kind of booked this experience. And so it was really cool. We decided to go on a self-driving tour of both of these countries. And so it was really clever how they did it. So Explore Namibia, they plotted out our whole schedule and created our itinerary. And then they did all the logistics. They made the reservations in all of the lodges. They made the reservation for our truck rental. They provided a GPS in the truck with all of our stops pre-programmed in. They provided like a paper map with all of the little like stickers of all the places we are going to go and a daily itinerary of like, this is where you're going. This is what to expect. Like, here's some things to note about it. And then they picked us up at the airport, brought us to our hotel. And then the next day they picked us up and brought us to the place where we rented our truck from. And so this was really cool because we could explore and go on our own. And we didn't have a guide or anything that drove us. Like, we drove ourselves and we weren't like following anybody. We weren't on a safari with a lot of other people. It was just the two of us driving around. Now, we did stop at lodges along the way and go on a safari to see animals that were, and we were taken by a guide and there were other people there. So we did do that, but we actually drove, in the end, it turned out to be 5,000 kilometers, which is 3,000 miles. So we did a lot of driving, but it was so rad because all of our spots were picked out for us and all of the logistics were done. And that was really key because if we were just to, you know, book some tickets to Namibia and show up, logistically, it would have been very hard to figure it all out. It's a very big country without a lot of people. There's 2 million people in Namibia and 2 million people in Botswana, and they're huge countries, just land-wise, but very, very vast, so not a lot of people. So many of these places we stayed were just very out of the way, And it's not like you kind of go from town to town. It's like one day we drove 6 hours and we went from one lodge to another lodge. It was 6 hours away and we passed, I think, 4 cars. And we saw so much, like so many changing landscapes along the way and animals along the way and like just incredible things. And also sometimes really boring too. So that's how we chose to do it. So there's a lot of different ways to experience Africa and doing this, but that's how we decided to do it. And I'm really glad that we did that just because we saw so much of those countries and we experienced so many different places and met so many cool people and really had a very, very rich experience. I would think more so than if we stayed at one or two lodges for a few weeks. So, and nothing wrong with that. Like, I think we'll definitely go back at some point. And I think we would, you know, be very open to finding a lodge or two and staying. Because this was, although exactly the experience we wanted, it was in a lot of ways very challenging and really kind of grueling at times just because of the amount of driving. And neither one of us like to drive. Luann and I, neither one of us like to drive. And might I say that the driving is on the left, the driver's side is the left-hand side of the car. And it's the opposite way. So they drive on the other side. And so that was challenging for me, although it wasn't too bad because, again, there's not a lot of cars. It's not like we're driving through cities. You know, even the towns are very, very small. So that's how we did it, and that's where we went. And the food piece was pretty challenging because, of course, I eat a plant-based diet, and I don't eat gluten because of perioral dermatitis issues. And so that was, I knew it was going to be a challenge, but I was really up for it. And I thought of it as sort of a little game and a little puzzle. And I really, really lowered my expectations. Like I always do when I travel, my expectations are like, hey, if I can eat something, like I'm good. But I did have this idea that I was very wrong about. And I just had this idea that, well, I know that we're staying at lodges, and if the lodges, because we kind of looked at some of the menus before we left at some of these lodges, and the thing is that Namibia was colonized by Germany, and there's a lot of German influence still. So not only in the food, but also in the architecture and the language. And yeah, the food for sure. So very, very meat and cheese and like bread heavy. And so we kind of knew that going into it. And I thought, okay, well, if the lodges don't have any options for me or don't have a lot of options for me. And we also let the people know that were organizing this, that I did have like some dietary requests, but some lodges were receptive and accommodating and some just weren't. And I think there was, you know, sometimes it was a language thing. Sometimes it was just, they didn't understand. Sometimes, I don't know, some of them, there were a few places I had really, really delicious meals and some not so much, but I had this idea that if the lodge that we're staying at doesn't really have much, then I'll just go to a local restaurant or a local cafe. Because, you know, a lot of African food, I mean, Africa is obviously a very big continent, but a lot of countries in Africa have, you know, whole food or plant-based staples, like whole food staples, right? They have a lot of whole grains like millet and teff and sorghum and a lot of legumes and beans and veggies. And so and I knew that. So I thought, well, I'll just eat at a local, more of a local spot and not eat at the lodges and maybe go to the local markets and go to the local cafes and it should be fine. But that... that was not a possibility at all. And turned out there really, I mean, a lot of most of the trip was just going from lodge to lodge, and there weren't any really like local places. I mean, we did pass local villages, but they're not villages who are open for commerce. Like, they are kind of a self-sustaining community that they don't have like a cafe I could go eat at. So that didn't really, that was not how I envisioned it, and which was totally fine, right? That's one thing when you travel, you just kind of let go of your expectations. And it wasn't really an expectation that that would happen. It was just, I had this idea that that would be possible, right? And that definitely wasn't possible. So it was the food at the lodges and the food that I would get at the grocery stores. The truck that we rented had a refrigerator in it, which was really cool. It also had an axe and a shovel, and it had two gas tanks, and it had two batteries, one to power the fridge. It had a huge water tank. It had like four-wheel drive. It was pretty badass. And so that fridge was super, super helpful. Some of the lodges we stayed at had kitchen facilities where I could cook, more of like a camping setup with either a grill or sort of a hot plate type of situation and a fridge. I would say more places did not have that, but staying at those was really nice because I could like heat up some beans or heat up some soup or simmer some broccoli. And then some places did not have that at all. And so then I was reliant on the lodge kitchen, and that was kind of hit or miss, but that's sort of what I was dealing with. Now, the grocery stores too, in the capital, which is Windhoek, there is a few bigger grocery stores where I could find, like rice cakes, for example, and, like peanut butter and some fruit and some veggies and like some gluten-free plant-based little biscuits. But when you got out of the capitals, really, it was very, very limited. You would have maybe a gas station that had very little food, and what food they had, it was like maybe some white bread and some salami and some, you know, like chocolate or something. So getting actual groceries, like each time we went through a town that was big enough that it had a grocery store, we would stock up on like baked beans and soup and like garbanzo beans. I bought canned green beans and creamed corn and, like I said, rice cakes and peanut butter and fruit, stuff like that. And so I had sort of this, you know, this pantry going in the car, and I'm like, okay, well, when we stopped at a place that had a cooking facility, then I could make my own food. And that was always really good. And then when I couldn't, then just ask the kitchen to make me something plant-based and gluten-free and hope for the best. So that's sort of how the food thing went down. And I'm actually in the midst of writing a blog post that has a food diary that I show you like all of my meals and kind of go into that into more detail if you're interested. And that's over on the blog, cleanfooddirtygirl.com/blog. And so it was good. It was good. I'm glad that I did not have high expectations with my food. That really, really helped. And, you know, it was an adventure, and that's what we wanted it to be. We wanted it to be an adventure. We knew that it was going to be an adventure, and boy, was it. It was amazing. So here's where I want to go with this. I want to talk about boredom and some of my aha moments that I'm still kind of unpacking and processing. It's going to take me a while, actually, to process and unpack this trip because it was pretty major. And there was a lot to think about, and a lot of kind of shifts happened for me. And one thing that I want to start with is in our group coaching in Plant Fueled Life, and in my one-on-one clients, I talk often about kind of life being 50-50. And this is not a new, I didn't make this up, but whatever we're experiencing, it's always going to be 50-50, like 50% negative, 50% positive. And it doesn't really matter your circumstances. There's always going to be things that are good and things that are bad. And that doesn't ever really change. You don't ever get to the point where it's like, oh, okay, now life is perfect. Now life is hunky-dory and, nothing challenging is going to happen. Like, that just doesn't ever happen to anybody because it's life. So I wanted to talk about some of the things that were more challenging, because I think, I hear people a lot going on these adventures and bringing back stories that are amazing and grand and fabulous, and that's good, that's inspiring. I like to hear those stories. But I'm also curious about the things that didn't go so well and kind of the crap times. And I wonder what, because it isn't always amazing. And so, and this is just good to remember, if you're going through a time, even if you are doing something that you've been excited to do, or that you have reached this milestone or this goal. And I think that this happens a lot, right? Like, we have this goal or this thing that we're working on, and we arrive, we get there, and we think, oh, we have this idea. Oh, once I get there, then I'm going to be happy. Once I get there, then I'm going to stop worrying. Once this happens, or once, this situation changes, or once I, whatever, then that's when I can kind of put up my feet and everything will be fine. And I don't know about you, but it's never happened to me. And so, even though we were on this amazing trip and it was something that, we're so fortunate and lucky to experience, and so full of gratitude for that, and all of that, there were still things that sucked, right? It's the 50-50. You can't get away from that. So I wanted to talk with you a little bit about some of those more, it could be seemingly negative things, and things that don't present automatic happiness. But I'm going to go a little bit deeper than that, because what I found was that those challenging times, those things that are maybe at first glance might be quote unquote negative, those things are so important, and there is huge opportunity for growth in those things. And those things aren't necessarily just negative to be negative. I think that life is always presenting us with things to learn from and to grow from. And the problem is that most of us, and I can say this for myself, I'm so busy and I'm so wrapped up in my day-to-day life that there's so much I miss, because I'm always going, I'm always doing, I'm always, I have this list and I have these goals and it's go, go, go. And I don't allow myself to get bored ever, and to get sort of just uncomfortable. And when you are sort of put in the corner and you're kind of forced into something different than your day to day, maybe it's, and it's challenging and these things come up that might not feel so good. Like, oftentimes that's the only time we'll ever stop and take note, because we're forced to stop. And so this first came up for me when we were at this desert camp called a Nib Desert Lodge in the Kalahari. And no, it wasn't. It was called Desert Camp in the Kalahari. And it was in the middle of absolutely nowhere. And there was nothing. I mean, there was one gas station and that was it. And it was very, very remote and it was very flat. And it was like, it was almost eerie and it was so quiet. And the camp had, I don't know, maybe 18 little places for people to stay. And there were, I don't know, I think because of COVID too, there still weren't a lot of people traveling and right. So it was much more quiet than usual from what we gathered. COVID really hit them hard. And so there was maybe 6 different vehicles or families or people who were staying at this place. But anyways, it was dead quiet. I mean, you just open the door and it's like super hot and kind of windy and it's just like desolate. And you feel like it feels so old. I mean, it is so old, right? This is one of the oldest places on Earth. And felt like I should be seeing dinosaurs kind of like sprinting across the land. It was like, I'm not good. Like when we first got there, I was like, oh, okay. All right. So I'm not super comfortable here. It's not a place where you get out of your car and you're like, oh my God, this is amazing. This is beautiful. Look at this. It's like so welcoming and inviting. And I could just stay here all day or all week or whatever. I'd never want to leave. It was not that at all. It was like, whoa, this place is eerie. And there was just sort of, I'm not going to say a heaviness to it, but there was definitely a loneliness to it. Vastness, like deep, deep quiet, like a quiet that I don't think I've ever experienced that level of quiet. No Wi-Fi, no phone reception at all. There was a TV that was in the bar area and it had like a channel on. Because there was a bar and a place to eat. And there was also like a pool. And it was a nice place. It was nice. It was a well done place. But it just felt just lonely. And my first reaction to it was like, oh, I want to get out of here. Like, I don't want to stay here. And not in like because I'm scared or like I wasn't scared. It was very, very quiet. And there was really nothing to do. There was no distractions and there was absolutely nothing to buffer with. And I talk about buffering a lot in my coaching and even on this podcast, I've talked about buffering. And buffering is just, you know, when you're doing something to distract yourself, basically. So we buffer with all kinds of things, even when we, you know, don't even realize we're doing it. But at this point, I didn't have cards. Like playing cards. We picked those up like towards the end of our trip because I was like, this is ridiculous. We need a deck of cards because there wasn't a lot to do, which was turned out to be a beautiful thing. But this is before we got the deck of cards. There, we had one book. I brought one book to read. And, so I read to Luann at night. And like every night I read to her. And so we always have a story going. And so because when we packed, we only brought one carry-on and one backpack. And so we did not bring a lot of stuff. And so I chose a very small paperback book to bring to be our like nightly story. So I didn't want to read that because I didn't want to read ahead. I did download some audiobooks and some podcasts, but here's the thing. Okay. We didn't bring a camera. Okay. Like, I know. Who goes to Africa without bringing like a proper camera, right? We did. So we had our phones. Now, granted, I mean, our phones are okay. We don't have iPhones or anything. We have like Pixel and Android phones. The camera is decent. But that's what we had. For a month-long trip, we have our phones. And so we realized, and it's not like we could just stop and go get a camera. Okay, trust me. Like, I can't even get, like, I don't know, a loaf of bread, right? Let alone, not that I could even eat it. But, like, there's no, like, oh, let's just pick up a camera there. Like, no. Okay. So we realized really quickly, like, okay, we should just use our phones as little as possible so that we make sure our camera doesn't crap out or our phones don't crap out, because we knew we were going to be taking a lot of pictures and a lot of videos. And so even though I had podcasts and audiobooks on my phone, I was very, like, I listened to them very sparingly, and I listened to them more at the end of our trip when I knew that, okay, we had already a lot of good photos. So that in case my phone died, it's ridiculous. I know. Thinking back, I'm like, doy. Like, okay, that was a moment. So we're at this place, this desert camp, and there's, yeah, not shit to do. And there wasn't, like, we didn't have a lot of food. So it's like, you know, just snacking wasn't going to happen. So anything that I would usually buffer with just was not there. And the quiet and just the everything, the eeriness, the wind, the heat, the just all of it, it was just getting to me. And I almost, like, I didn't have a panic attack or anxiety, but I definitely felt uncomfortable. And so what are you going to do? It's like, there's nothing you can do, right? So I just sat with it, took a nap. Then I sat outside and just looked at the landscape, and I just, you know, slowly started to just embrace it, whatever it was, you know. And it took like a few hours before I felt sort of a little bit comfortable. And then the longer we stayed there, and we stayed there two nights, because there was this place that we wanted to visit that was like an hour away that we went on a day trip to, which was freaking amazing. These amazing, like, 50, what, how old was it? It was like 50 million year old dunes, like, freaking crazy. So anyways, we kind of stayed at this place as, you know, because we were going to go do that the next day. Then we needed to, yeah, have two nights there. So by the time we left there, there was a shift in me. There was a shift, and it was like I was releasing and letting go and just like shedding all of my jitteriness and all of my like need for consumption and knee-jerk reaction to like reach for my phone and check what's on Instagram. And I just sort of became very peaceful. And like peaceful to the point that I was like, whoa, what is this feeling? And it wasn't just peaceful, but I started, this is going to sound weird, but just roll with me. Okay. I started to feel like alive in a way, like something was bubbling up that I forgot. Maybe I have felt this before, and maybe it was when I was quite little, or maybe it was like I can think back to times in my life that it could have bubbled up, but I don't remember any specific time. And so if it did, then I can't even tell you when, but it was this like familiar feeling that had been dormant. It was like this energy or something had been dormant, and I got quiet long enough, and I stopped buffering long enough for this thing to start emerging, for this thing to kind of wake up and come to the surface. And the best way I can describe that is it felt alive, and it felt like my essence. I know this sounds weird. I'm sure this sounds very strange, but And I knew at that moment, I'm like, hey, I would not be experiencing this if there was Wi-Fi here, or if there was a TV in our room, or if I had brought along a really good camera and was able to use my phone to listen to all my audiobooks and podcasts, or if I would have had that deck of cards, or if there was like a ton of people and like traveling with a group of people, right? Like this wouldn't have come up. And the only reason it did was because I was backed into a corner to just be with nothing, to be in that silence, that quiet, connecting with the sound of the wind and the heat and the landscape and just being with myself. And like, of course, Luann was there too. But of course, I was like talking with her about this a little bit. Like, hey, are you like, how are you feeling? I'm feeling weird. It's like, yeah, it is kind of weird. And so we were checking in with each other. But that thing that I felt that was bubbling up, that very like life essence bubbling up, I just had this huge hit and this huge shift. Like, oh, that's the shit that doesn't come up in my regular day-to-day life. That's the feeling that I don't connect with because everything is too loud and I'm too busy and I have too many things going on to even give that, whatever that is, that life essence and opportunity to show itself. And it felt so peaceful. And it felt so, not like so good that it was like ecstasy. Like it wasn't even that. It was just this contentment. It was contentment. I was just completely content, which is weird because in the beginning I was so uncomfortable and it took getting really uncomfortable to feel that. And so that's where I wanted to start. And I'm going to wrap this up and I'm going to talk more about Africa and I'm going to talk more about the 50-50 and I'm going to talk more about my kind of ahas and all of that on over the course of the next few episodes. But that's where I wanted to start. And I think that is something that, because I went through it, towards the end of my trip, I got nervous about coming back. And I was ready to come back. Like I missed my bed and my pillow and Sweet Pea. And I wanted to hug my mom and dad. And I wanted to see my friends. And I really wanted to batch cook. And I just wanted to make a big ass salad more than anything. And I was nervous because I didn't want that feeling, that contentment, that life essence. I didn't want that to go away. I didn't want to disconnect with that. And so, you know, I do know that that is in me and that like what that taught me is that's there and I can access that. So now I know there's something to access when I shut everything and I get really quiet and I get really still. Because before that, like I don't know, I didn't, you know, what's the point of like, I mean, I get it. I understand the point of not buffering. I understand the point of like being with yourself and not being on fucking my phone all the time. Like I understand that that's important, but this was different. I really got a taste of it. I'm like, oh, this is why. And so now I can think of this like, okay, I'm not like I can adjust things in my day-to-day life, not because I should be on a screen less, but because, you know, I want to connect with that contentment. And I want to feel that for a bit because there's a certain amount of balance that that brings that I think I've been missing out on because I haven't been able to access that. Because of my busy life, because I didn't know it was there, because of all of that. And so now, because I got a taste of that, now I don't have to be nervous about being home because I've had this experience. I know this. And so now it's in me. It's part of my story. It's part of my psyche. It's part of me. So I know that it's there. And I know what I need to do to connect with that. And how amazing is that, that I wouldn't have known that had I not been forced to like sit there and be uncomfortable with the nothingness and the vastness and the loneliness in order to feel that. Like, what a gift. So when I say that this trip was life-changing, I mean, and I haven't even gotten to like freaking animals,
right?
And all the people that we met, but just this one shift alone was huge for me. And so I wanted to start unpacking this and kind of my process of processing this. Part of that is with you. And so that's really where I wanted to start. So there's more to come. I will continue on during the next episodes. I love that I can share this with you. So I hope that you have an amazing week, and I will talk to you again soon. Bye. Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoy this podcast, I would love it if you could rate and review it. That would mean a lot. And if you want to learn more about our whole food plant-based meal plans, head on over to our website, cleanfooddirtygirl.com, and check them out. You can also pick up a ton of plant-based recipes and resources and get inspired to celebrate human imperfection, because none of us are perfect. None of us, promise. And isn't that a relief? Oh my gosh. Okay, have a beautiful week, and I'll talk to you again soon. Dreamer, come alive.